We're back talking about the Pirates at the trade deadline. Bob Pompiani along with Austin City Limits, who's in the hot seat today, producing, multitasking as Joe Starkey is away for the week, but he'll be back next week as well. 412-928-9370. Top of the hour, we're going to break down the Steelers, look at what they have, and ask the question, how effective can a 41, soon-to-be 42 quarterback can be? We look back at some of the history of people who have done it, what their results have been. Of course, Tom Brady is the guy who's accomplished the most since turning 40 into 45, but who did it before that? We'll get into that at 412-928-9370. Right now, let's go back to the hotline here. Also, we got Todd in Wexford who's been waiting for a while. What's up, Todd?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
We're good. What's going on?
Good. Nothing. Hey, I really would rather Pirates trade nobody, to be quite honest with you. In terms of the you know, Kellers and the Reynolds and the Bednars, because they're relatively young, and if you trade them, you're going nowhere. You're just going to set yourself back. It's not going to happen. Pirates have proven they haven't been able to draft, you know, successfully. And i.e., when you draft, you had two overall number one picks. Paul Skeens, great pick. Henry Davis, horrible pick. You can't do stuff like that and expect to win. In that same draft, you could have got Jackson Merrill. Padres drafted him the 27th pick overall. That was much better use. And then people talk about the Cardinals. Why are the Cardinals good? Because they go out and get, as you're saying, Bob, earlier in the show on free agents, they go out and draft, they sign players like Nolan Arenado, Paul Goldschmidt, Wilson Contreras, Sonny Gray, all good veteran players that were, not to say past their prime, but they got them probably in the early 30s, and they got 3-4 years. They mixed their good guys in there, and they're doing well.
Yeah,
and
no,
we don't develop.
It's a mix of everything, and you're right. And if the Pirates don't engage in free agents seriously, then you have to rely solely on your system, which has not been good. So you're of the mindset that you're not going to get any kind of return based on Ben Cherington's inability to show it previously, and so you're carrying that over into this trade deadline.
Exactly. And then they got to do something with, like, Jack Sawinski. I don't even know why. You find somebody else in the minors that could do something better than him. If they have nobody better than Jack Sawinski, he's never hit over 224 in the 4 years he's had at-bats in the majors. And then the next thing is O'Neill Cruz. If you strike out, for a guy that has his bat speed, striking out 122 times in 322 at-bats, are you kidding me?
See, like, that's the thing about Cruz that I was a little disappointed in this year. Thanks, Todd, for the call, too. We appreciate that. Is that here's a guy who has enormous ability on the bases to steal bases, but you got to get on base before that can happen. And he started the season like he was, more of a, you know, put the ball in play kind of attempt, but the bat speed will take care of itself, right? It will. If he has that kind of bat speed, even if you just try to make contact, the ball is going to go a lot farther than the most. He needs to get on base more and utilize his tools that he has in the tool chest. He hasn't been able to do that other than the long ball. He started out so hot stealing bases. Where is he now? He hasn't done much of that in the last 2 months.
Nope. No, and that's just a huge part of it. Like the development and the acquisition of other players that they found, whether it be in the Musgrove trade, whether it be the Adam Frazier trade, trying to bank on Hoy Park, stuff like that.
Another name, Hoy Park.
Hoy Park. They think that they can be able to find a steal from somebody, bring them into their system, and they change. It's kind of like Tomlin with wide receivers when he drafts them, and ultimately doesn't end up being the case. At least Tomlin has receivers that have talent. The talent is just not fully there for the Pirates, and they develop these guys.
Yeah, and, you know, that's the whole thing. Whatever, you know, you mentioned Quinn Priester, right? Quinn Priester was acquired for Nick York, who's still not up here. And at the time, it looked like he was going to be one of the guys. Again, this is the problem when you fall into the prospect game where, oh, look at this guy, what he's going to be able to do when he comes up here. Well, where is he? Why is he not here yet? And meanwhile, Quinn Priester's figured it out. I don't think they've changed a lot of what Quinn Priester's doing in Milwaukee. They just supported him in doing it and worked with it to fine-tune it more than change it. If you remember when they had Tyler Glasnow and traded him, they wanted him to become something he wasn't here.
Right.
When he went to Tampa, they said, no, you got a 99, 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Let's use that to your advantage.
Yeah, a lot of it is just about pitch usage and location and how you're attacking hitters and how you change the eye level of hitters as well. And that's something that's working really well for Priester now that ultimately it didn't work here, and they didn't have the right messaging with them because the stuff was there, the location just wasn't, and I think a lot of that might be philosophy.
Yeah, it's the wrong philosophy. That's what's going on. They got to get better in that department, no question. Who's next on the hotline, Austin?
All right, let's go to Emmanuel in Carnegie.
Emmanuel, what's up?
Uh-oh. Thanks for taking my call. Oh, sorry, I dropped my phone.
A fumble. We had a fumble. This is on the day before Steelers training camp, and there's a fumble. You know how
you
Mike Tomlin
hates. You can't be Rashard Mendenhall,
Emmanuel. He hates fumbles. You can't do that, Emmanuel.
I can't be. I can't cost us another Super Bowl. that being said, if I was the Pirates, I'll trade it. And anybody's on the trade and bought butt schemes. That's how it is. I agree with one of the callers earlier, even Reynolds. I put him on the trade.
Yeah, but aren't you concerned about what you're going to get in return? Let's say that he makes a trade for Mitch Keller, and it turns out to be similar to what they got in some of these other trades that he's made, which is to say nothing.
This is why I want to go with process. I want someone that has a little bit of a track record, someone that is young and has a track record. I think a change of scenery for some of these guys will be a good thing. And as in regards to the Steelers, I think we're not really focusing on the defense as much. 73-0 in the first quarters of all these playoff games. I think Rodgers is going to be good. But we need him to be great if the defense is lacking like they have in the last several playoff games. Thank you.
Yeah, I agree with that. If you take a look getting to the Steelers, and we'll talk more about that in the next hour here, but even with T.J. Watt signing, which kind of reduces his cap hit now in this season, the Steelers still will commit more money by far. This will be the fourth consecutive year limits that they are the top spending team on defense at almost $170 million. That's $20 million more than the next team, which is the Giants. And then after that, it's the Colts. Let me ask you something. When I say to you Steelers, Giants, Colts, best defense on paper, at least in terms of money, they haven't had anything to show for themselves in terms of playoff success.
Nope.
Which tells you a little bit about where some of this other money should be going.
And think about the last time that they were good and the last time that they were in the playoffs and winning playoff games. It was Ben, A.B., Le'Veon, Martavis Bryant, experienced and paid offensive line with Pouncey, DeCastro, Ramon Foster, Villanueva, Gilbert. They invested significantly on offense, partly because they drafted better on offense and had players that they wanted to build around and be able to pay. But that's clearly the key in this NFL, Bob, where it's a pass-happy league, where you win on the offensive side of the ball. Kansas City's done it. The Eagles did it. Yeah, they still had good defenses, but they were younger. They were inexpensive. And they developed well where they spent more money on offense because defense wins championships now only happens not in a blue moon, but a lot rarer than offensive spending and offensive philosophy.
Yeah. Kansas City's done it very interestingly by not putting a lot of big time money. Chris Jones was the exception when he was there, and you know, when he was up for a deal, they paid that. But generally speaking, they get some young guys and they put them in a scheme that works, and Spagnuolo has them working well. And they dedicate a lot of their time to offensive players and money there. So you can do it a lot of different ways. And I'm not going to say defense doesn't win. If you have a really good defense, you can ride that, especially in a playoff game if your offense is capable of scoring more points. Now, the Steelers have changed their offense around radically here in the last 2 years. But that's also made possible because they missed on their one pick that they thought would change the quarterback position. When you miss on those picks, you know, just like we were talking about with the Pirates, you end up trying to get the same draft pick or whatever to come in and do the job that you shouldn't have had done if you did it right. If they had gotten the right quarterback when they took Kenny Pickett, and maybe there was none available in that draft, maybe they should have not done that at that time. But when you keep chasing and you don't have it, you're going to keep chasing. I've never seen them ever back-to-back years have complete change in their quarterback room, six different quarterbacks. And now here they are, and we know this is going to be it for Aaron Rodgers, and then next year they're going to go through this exercise of trying to find the one that they hope they can ride with. However, if it doesn't work out, you know, now you're doing the same thing over and over again.
Well, if it does not work out, it might end up being to their benefit, getting closer to a high draft pick for a quarterback too. So that's why I think, like, obviously they're all in as they can be this year, because they didn't give up significant assets for the future to be able to sell out for this year. Like, clearly they're going for it with Rodgers, with Darius Slay, before those guys ultimately retire, Ramsey, stuff like that, re-signing Watt. But it still leaves open the possibility that next year they can just completely reset, do a whole 180, do a whole 360 based on basically what they did last year. Wilson and Fields to Rodgers. They did a full 180. They have a chance to do so again to go to a rookie quarterback as long as they get it right this time.
If you get the rookie quarterback right, then you have so much more money to spend, so many things you can tackle, as opposed to try to figure out the quarterback position. It's actually a benefit if you do it the right way because you can stack your roster with other players. 412-928-9370. One more call before we take the break here. And who would that be, Austin?
All right, let's go to Craig. He's on the road.
On the road again for Mr. Craig. What's up?
Yeah, I am. I'm on 28 right now. When Charrington came here, he was stuck with their Latin American scout. The chief scout in Latin America was Rene Gallo. And Reneo was ripping them off. He was pumping up prospects that had no talent and paying and collecting big fees, which split with the family. They got rid of Rene about 2 or 3 years ago, and they've done much better since. They sent two guys to the Futures game at the All-Star game, and one was this Merlin Valdez, who's one of their signings. They've got a big left-handed hitting outfielder in the very low minors named Edward Florentino, and he's 6'4 and can run and hits the ball a long way. They have a catcher in Altoona named Omar Alfonso. Now he was an international signing, but his father played in the major leagues for a long time, and he's a left-handed power hitting catcher. Okay. So
but your point is what?
Charrington is slowly fixing the organization. He should have done it from day one. But, a major league organization is a huge operation. And, you need to have people around that you can trust. And he took it on faith that the people that were there were trustworthy, and they weren't. They brought in a pitching development coordinator from the Rays several years ago, and all of a sudden they're turning out pitchers like crazy. And, now they need to do that with, a hitter.
Well, clearly they need... And thanks for the call, man. I appreciate you driving on 28 and taking time to call. But they certainly need to develop better. They're not doing it. I'm not sure the root cause of it, why it happens. There are a lot of people involved in this. But they have to develop the people they have. Either that or it's just they're not good at identifying talent. And if you look back over the years, you can make that case as well. They've drafted some players who are not even in this organization anymore as opposed to players who have thrived in other parts of Major League Baseball.
Was he trying to advocate to keep the GM around because he's starting to build up the international system better?
It sounds that way, but that's why, What do you think about that, by the way? Do you think they've made a decision on him one way or the other?
I think that they have come pretty close to it, I would imagine, and that, why they haven't done it now, though, it gives me some pause. Maybe they just don't want to completely change up the entire structure of the organization by getting rid of the general manager now, which it's easier to get rid of the manager.
Okay, so, fine, but still, at some point, it goes beyond the manager. It's about the talent the manager has to utilize. And so I ask this question to you, and I think it's going to be an interesting one. If they retain Ben Charrington, all right, then Don Kelly will be the manager.
Yeah.
If they don't, should the new GM have every right to come in and say, look, I am not... I have my own ideas of who I want here. I have my own ideas who I want to be my scouting director, all of it. He should get a clean slate on this, or do you think the Pirates may say to him, well, that's fine, except you're keeping Don Kelly?
No, the Pirates should not say that.
How about if they do?
That should not be a mandate. Then the new general manager should have a choice whether to come here or not, whether he wants to. That shouldn't handicap the new general manager, considering he should be able to determine his own guy at manager. Like, this is not Kyle Dubas inheriting Mike Sullivan, who won two cups. This is Donnie Kelly, who has a 8-game under 500 record over the course of his managerial tenure. Like, I like Donnie Kelly. Don't get me wrong. I think he's made some good decisions. I still want to see more from him.
Right.
But I think that if you can get an experienced manager, again, Francona would have been my pick. If you can get a similar type of guy like that, that can mold young players, but that's been around for a while and can create a culture, because they haven't had a culture in 6 years, longer than that, dating back to, the last great culture they had on this team was those 14, 15 teams, 13, 14, 15, maybe a couple years after that, it lingered over. They need somebody that can set a culture, define what this team is going to be, and get the best out of young players. And if they could find somebody better than Don Kelly to do that, they should.
This is why I don't like to react to one way or the other as this season goes on. It's 162 is a lot. Bob Nightingale came out with a tweet after Don Kelly had won six in a row and his team went on a streak, saying that he should be in consideration for manager of the year. And when I saw that, I said, really? That soon you're going to make? And they immediately then lost six in a row. It takes time.
Very premature.
And while I would understand, I think Donnie Kelly could be an asset to an organization.
Yeah, no doubt.
I also think that that manager, general manager coming in, should have the right. If you're being told you got to keep him around, fine. But he doesn't have to be my manager. I could use him in other roles. And if he doesn't want to hang around for that, that's up to him. But I think that's going to be part of the conversation moving forward if there's a change at the helm.